I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, hour number two of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo is here as we roll through the four-hour sports talk extravaganza. That is the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. We've got a lot to get to, a lot coming up on the show. Coming up in the very next segment of the radio broadcast, the magnificent Denton Day from Sirius XM will join the show. He is the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM. He'll be checking in with us in the next segment to talk a little college football with us. We'll ask him about the Gamecocks' performance against Oklahoma. There's been a conversation going on nationally. Is that more about what South Carolina is, more about what Oklahoma isn't, or some combination of the two? We'll talk to Denton Day about that, as well as what he sees happening in the future for the Clemson Tigers and more. At 8:20 this morning, my Saturday co-host, Cody Decker from Bet for the Cycle, as well as the host of Beadle and Decker on Sirius XM, will join us here on the show. We're going to talk a little World Series baseball with Cody Decker coming up at 8:20 this morning. The World Series getting underway Friday evening as the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees are set to get it on. Seven-game series that begins out on the left coast with the Dodgers hosting the Bronx Bombers. I would have Cody on closer to the end of the week, but considering the amount of sway that Deck has in the baseball broadcasting world, he's very busy between Thursday and Friday. So fitting in some time with us today at 8:20, we'll talk with Cody Decker, do a little World Series preview with you coming up in a little over an hour from now. But all of that is in the future. What's in the immediate? What's in the present? What's in the now? It's the top three sports stories you need to know going on in the world of sports before you get to the office in less than 58 minutes from right now and start talking sports with your friends, family, and coworkers, whoever you might spend the majority of your day with. You want to talk sports, you got to know what's going on. That's why we do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. You want to know what's going on. You need to know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. You need the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet. You need item number one. Let us begin where we began last night, and that's on the hardwood with the Boston Celtics beginning their title defense in 2024-25 of the NBA season with a 132-109 win over the New York Knickerbockers. That's your final score. The Boston Celtics knocked down 29 three-pointers in that contest last night. That ties the most three-pointers made by a team in a single game with the Milwaukee Bucks from a couple of seasons back. However, that's not the hilarious part about this whole thing. The hilarious part about this whole thing is that after the Celtics knocked down three-pointer number 29, they proceeded to miss the next 13 efforts from behind the arc, including one series that saw them lift like six consecutive three-point efforts, and none of them found the bottom of the cup.
I'm sure this is because of defense, because the other team didn't want them to break the record.
Sure.
That's what I think happened.
Sure. Let's go with that. In fact, they went with the tale as old as time defense, Zoe, of if you allow a guy 9 feet to lift up a three, he'll overthink it, right? He'll overthink it. He'll get overconfident and he'll brick it. And the defense was spectacular for the Knicks. Of course, the Celtics would ultimately shoot 47.5% from the floor. Realistically, that number was closer to 57% from the floor, except for they missed a lot of shots after the game was out of hand because they were trying to break that record, something they failed to do. On the flip side, the New York Knicks, 11 of 30 from deep, 43 of 78. They did shoot 55% from the floor, but the three-point race just outright won by the Boston Celtics. They also out-rebounded the Knicks by three. They had 33 assists compared to the Knicks, 26 steals to the Knicks, 2 when it was all said and done. Boston with a spectacular start to the title defense. Then we went to the late night game out on the left coast. There's all the X's on the floor. Isn't that great? Isn't that spectacular? So much fun.
That's all the misses.
That was all the misses.
I mean, there were like
four
in a row that they got the rebound.
All on one series.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, pretty spectacular. On out to the left coast, the Los Angeles Lakers were 1.5-point underdogs. They walk out with a 7-point win, 110-103 last night. Anthony Davis led all scorers with 36 points. Anthony Edwards for the T-Wolves had 27. AD, 11 of 23 from the floor, but he put up 13 successful free throws out of 15 attempts as well. 18 for Rui Hachimura, 16 for LeBron James. Austin Reeves had a dozen. We did see the debut of Dalton Knecht, went 2 of 4 from the floor, had 5 points, as well as 1 3-pointer mixed in there. As Dalton Knecht is going to be a stud, dude. I don't know how much, if any, of you of this game you've gotten to see.
So did Bronny do anything when he was in there?
He did not. He went 0 of 2 from the floor, 0 of 1 from range. He did have 1 offensive rebound, and that's the whole stat.
Okay, so he got something. He got a rebound.
He had 1 rebound.
You'd think they would have set him up for an assist or something. You know?
I was actually listening to this game. I had this game. I told you guys during the power outage from Hurricane Helene, I kind of really got into listening to games on the radio. I was listening to this game on Sirius XM last night, and the Lakers announcers were begging the Lakers to set Bronny up for the shot. They're like, run a screen, do something, get this man an opportunity to put the brown thing in the round thing, and let's see if we can get Bronny James going. They never did.
Well, if they didn't force it, that's more proof that they're going to let him, develop as he should.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We're going to keep an eye on that situation as it develops. But the Lakers do get the win. They opened 1-0 at the house last night on the back of an Anthony Davis 36-point double-double to start the NBA season. The rest of the association will get underway this evening. We have games that will tip off tonight, starting with a 7 o'clock first tip between the Pacers and the Pistons. Got every other game lining up at 7:30 or later. That does include the Hornets at the Rockets at 8 o'clock tonight. The Bulls at the Pelicans tonight at 8 o'clock. Grizz and Jazz at 9. Suns Clippers is at 10 o'clock. So is Warriors Trailblazers out on the left coast. Let's go to item number 2. To the MLS playoffs we go for just a minute, because Atlanta United FC eliminated CF Montreal last night 5-4 in a penalty kick thriller, a shootout in the opening game of the MLS Cup playoffs after the two clubs played to a 2-2 draw. Atlanta was actually up a couple of goals going into the half, but former Atlanta United star Joseph Martinez stepped in, scored not one but 2 second half goals to set the score level headed to the zeros on the clock. We went to the shootouts after that. Atlanta keeper Brad Guzan denied Tom Pierce on Montreal's second attempt in the shootout. Sabalojiande was able to score and seal it for United. Brooks Lennon scored his first goal of the season, headed in a cross from Pedro Amador in the 29th minute. Defender Stian Gregersen made it 2-0 in the 44th by heading in a free kick. Then Martinez pulled Montreal within 2-1 in the 63rd minute. A penalty kick in the 87th minute awarded to Montreal was converted by Martinez. That was his 8th goal in the last 6 games. And that brought us to the PKs, but Atlanta able to clutch up and win that thing. So Atlanta will move on to the second round. And who should be waiting for the ATL in round number 2 but Inter Miami and Leo Messi? This is interesting. I actually really love The MLS playoffs, great one. It's a weird format. Round one is an individual game. It is a one-game elimination contest. Round two is a best-of-three series that has one game at the top seed, one game at the lower seed, the third game, if necessary, back at the home side of the top seed. I really like this because it makes you play different styles of football throughout the playoffs. It makes sure that the likelihood is the best team wins, as opposed to soccer's individual knockout style where, hey, sometimes a fluke goal will change it. You got to win a tough, effectively single elimination opener, but then it's a three-game series in round two to make sure that once those teams get through, the best teams continue to move deeper into the MLS playoffs. I really like that format. We'll see how it plays out from there. Let's go to item number three. NFL news coming out, and there are two stories right now that we are keeping an eye on this morning, and we will talk about both of them as the show proceeds. We start with what Lonzo broke earlier. By the way, breaking news brought to you by our friends at BetQL. Be a better, be a smarter, better, and beat the books with BetQL. Grab the BetQL app, pardon me, for the best betting analysis you're going to find anywhere. And on top of that, make sure you listen to Bet for the Cycle every Saturday at noon on the BetQL network with myself and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker, who, by the way, will be joining us coming up at 8:20 to talk World Series preview. The breaking news is that the Chiefs are now, it has gone from working on to finalizing a trade with the Tennessee Titans to acquire wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Hopkins on the season, 15 grabs, 173 yards, and a tutty. Part of the reason why is that Tennessee stinks.
Fire sale.
They stink.
All things must go.
Oh, absolutely.
Bye, bye, bye.
Absolutely. So we'll find out exactly what the compensation for Nuke is. I'm going to guess
it's great. It's a fifth round pick with the potential to become a fourth.
A fifth round pick?
Yeah, just.
A fifth round pick? The rest of the league is watching Nuke go to Pat for a fifth round pick? Good Lord.
You know what that does do, though? That leaves a possibility that if you wanted to go get Cooper Kupp, too, you could.
Well, that's a money thing now. I don't know. Okay. I don't know off the top of my head what Nuke's contract situation is. If this is if this is the only year he has on that deal and the Chiefs would have to re-sign him. So I don't know how much is going to be on the table in terms of compensation and salary cap hit the Chiefs have to come off of this year in order to pay Nuke. But I will say, if there is enough left on the table, and if, as Diana Rossini from ESPN reported yesterday, the Rams are indeed willing to pick up some level of Cooper Kupp's 2024 salary in return for a second-round pick, instead of probably a third, fourth, maybe fifth like Nuke is going for, if they are willing to pony up some of the salary of Cooper Kupp, that is very on the table. I will also tell you, the bargaining price for Cooper Kupp just went through the roof. Because if I'm Buffalo or I'm Baltimore, I'm panicking right now. I got to go get Cooper Kupp. He's the best free agent or best trade target that we're aware of so far of wide receivers left on the block.
Cooper Kupp sent Nuke Hopkins a text saying, thanks, bro.
Thanks, dog. Appreciate you, bro. I certainly think the L.A. Rams did. The L.A. Rams are like, Nuke. Sup, dog. Appreciate that. Not what you're getting, but where you're going. Appreciate that. The other bit of NFL news we're keeping an eye on, Carolina Panther quarterback Andy Dalton involved in an automobile accident yesterday afternoon in Charlotte, according to a team spokesperson. Dalton, his wife, their three children, and their dog were traveling west on Sardis Road near Providence Road, about 7 miles away from BOA when the accident occurred. According to reports, no one in the vehicle was transported by emergency medical personnel to the hospital. However, Dalton was being evaluated yesterday evening by team medical personnel. The team said no further information was available at the time. on the accident or Dalton's availability for Sunday's game against the Denver Broncos. The 36-year-old is 1-4 since replacing Bryce Young. Dave Canales said that the loss to the Commanders, the team's fourth straight L, that Dalton is still the projected starter against the Broncos, that we do not know if anything will come about with this car accident, as we frankly just don't have details yet to go off of. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what comes out of this. We'll keep an eye on this story and see if we develop anything, any news, any information coming up after this. All right, we got to run to a break. I want to talk more about this DeAndre Hopkins story going to Kansas City, what he does for Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I want to talk about what this does for Cooper Kupp and the rest of the league that might be in on that sweepstakes. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little college football. Denton Day, the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM, will join us. We'll break down everything going on with the new AP Top 25 as we move forward to the implementation of the 12-team playoff, what impact that might be having on some teams and how they handle their in-season strategy, and more. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Efforting Denton Day of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime. Hoping to have Denton on coming up here in just a minute or two from right now. If we can't get in contact with him, we will reschedule Denton for tomorrow, Friday, whatever. Denton is slated to join us on Wednesdays moving forward to talk college football. Love Denton. Great stuff. Had a phenomenal interview with him last week, and had a handful of you guys that requested Denton to come back on the show, and he was gracious enough to agree. But I will also say that Denton does work mornings up in Baltimore and kind of works around his regular job schedule to be here with us. So there may be an occasion here and there where we have to reschedule or move him around a little bit. But I'll let you know when we hear from Denton Day. Hopefully we'll have him join us here in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, let us talk a little bit of college football. Let us get into some of the matchups coming up this weekend. Zoe, any apprehension about Matt Rhule in Nebraska coming to your house this weekend? This seems so weird to me because they've had a bunch of good wins. They have two losses, both of them against now top 25 teams. Illinois was number 24. Illinois beat them by a score. Indiana embarrassed Nebraska. 56-7 was your final in that one. That was ugly for Nebraska, but every other game this team's played, they've looked better. They've been coached well. Dylan Raiola has been what they expected him to be. And if this is any sort of bounce back spot for Nebraska, does that make you apprehensive?
My only concern is quarterback play for Ohio State, because he has said many times over this last week how he's replayed that last 5-6 seconds of the game in his head. Did that get in his head so much that it affects his play going forward?
Don't know. Here's one thing that's very interesting about Matt Rhule and about Nebraska. This is a team that I think can throw defensive looks at you that I don't know that Ohio State has seen yet. Oregon, obviously the only blemish on the Ohio State record at this point. By the way, just heard from Denton. Denton will join us in the next segment. So we'll talk college football with Denton Day coming up in the next segment of the show. Oregon is very interesting. Oregon is a team that relies on a lot of speed, a lot of misdirection in terms of defense, right? Like, they're going to give you, it's not going to be super exotic looks. They're just going to try to outrun you to the football. They're going to try to outrun you. They're going to try to outflank you. They're going to try to take lanes away from you in order to nullify the physical advantages that you might have over them. Nebraska has really leaned back into that black shirt reputation. Nebraska, now, in fairness, and I will say this, because I got a lot of respect for Nebraska fans, primarily for putting up with the crap they've put up with since Tom Osborne left. As a matter of fact, we're going to hear later on in the show from Peter Burns of the SEC Network, who had a message for Alabama fans, and he goes into this. Nebraska fans have been leaning on, oh, the black shirts, the black shirts, the black shirts, for a very long time, despite the fact that they have done nothing to be discussed as the black shirts in a very long time. But Matt Rhule, when he showed up in Nebraska, and I know a lot of y'all, fairly, I know a lot of y'all carry a grudge against Matt Rhule for how things went in Carolina. As far as I'm concerned, Matt Rhule went back to college. He gets the reset button. All right. When Matt Rhule showed up, he said, "Look, we're gonna go back to the old school because we're old fools. It's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm gonna show you the way." Who did? All right. When he showed up there, that was the first thing he started talking about. Right. We are gonna go back to that mentality. We're gonna go back to the mentality of the black shirt era when Nebraska fans were proud to be Nebraska fans. We're going to go back to the era where we played hard-nosed, tough, physical defense. I don't think, and listen, Indiana this weekend tore them up. Indiana tore them up. It's still a team that is, even with the transfer portal available, it's still a team that's got some roster building left to do. But so they're one of the few teams, I think, that you guys are going to go up against that are going to try to punch you in the face at the point of attack. One of the very few teams I think are going to get after you right at the line of scrimmage and try to push you around a little bit. I don't think they can do it, but I think they can throw some looks at you because of their strength up front that Ohio State hasn't seen much of this year. Because outside of Oregon, there maybe Iowa to some degree, and you put 35 up on Iowa, like maybe Iowa to some degree, but I also don't think that on the flip side of the ball for Nebraska, I don't think Cade McNamara, who by the way, I don't even think Cade McNamara didn't get 100 yards against you guys through the air, did he? I don't think he did.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't think he got 100 yards against you guys.
I mean, that game was so tight. It really was.
It absolutely was.
That's the kind of game you want to see in a championship game.
Until it wasn't when you guys put up three tutties in the third quarter. But it was 7-0 after the first quarter. 7-0 Buckeyes after the first quarter. Cade McNamara and the Iowa offense. The Iowa offense, period, has been a joke for years.
Oregon. I'm sorry.
No, we're circling back around. I'm saying outside of Oregon, who is much more involved with speed, creativity, et cetera, et cetera. Outside of Oregon, Iowa is the closest thing you guys have seen to what Nebraska can do. You should win this game. You're heavy favorites in this game. The last I looked, that line was like Ohio State minus 25.5. So I don't think it's going to be close. But this game just has, it's got a weird feel to me. It's got a feel to me like this is one of those games that Matt Rhule knows coming in. I do something here. I can make something special happen. This can be a legacy game for me. And coming off the disappointment of getting B-slapped in the mouth by Indiana last week, this is a game that it feels like the players would be, listen, we got to get up listen, for.
You just got indigestion, man.
Oh, is that what that is?
That's that weird feeling. Yeah.
I did have some andouille sausage for dinner last night.
I have no idea what that is.
Spicy Cajun sausage.
Ah, okay.
The best sausage.
Well, that should have the opposite effect of it. I mean, you know, that should make things flow freely.
It's a whole process. It's a whole thing. I don't know. This game has a weird vibe to me for some reason. I mean, Ohio State's going to win this game. But this game's got a weird vibe. This is that legacy game. For Nebraska. This is that game that I think Matt Rhule knows it. I think Dylan Raiola knows it. I think that that Nebraska defense knows it. This is that game where if you go in there and you go to Columbus and you give Ohio State a fit, this is that game that helps you roster build. This is that game that gets you on the map. This is that game that gets people coming in here and going, yo, wait a minute. Maybe Matt Rhule's cooking a little something up. Maybe Matt Rhule's got a little something going down in Lincoln, Nebraska. Maybe we should pay a little bit more attention to what Matt Rhule's doing right now. It's a weird, I would tell Ryan Day, don't be looking ahead. And not respectfully, not that Ohio State has much to look ahead to. Oh, that's right, you're on the road at Penn State next week. That's the game left. Well, that's supposed to be the game left. You also do have Indiana coming to the house.
Indiana is still on there.
But as uh-oh games go, next week on the road at Penn State, especially if Penn State doesn't lose this weekend. Because I'll tell you what's going on with Penn State. The Nittany Lions have the ILL coming into town. The Illinois folks. They're on the road at Wisconsin. They got to them later. They're on the road at Wisconsin. Now, I think if I recall correctly, Penn State's favored by like 21.5. But they can kind of afford a little bit to be looking ahead to Ohio State, right? And maybe that means this is the week that James Franklin craps the bed. We'll ask Denton Day coming up in the next segment. But this game's got a weird vibe to me if Ohio State gets in trouble because they're looking ahead to Penn State. And on top of that, Nebraska tries to have a legacy game this weekend. When we come back, Denton Day, he is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. He's going to join us here on the show to talk a little college football. We will ask him about those games. We'll ask him about South Carolina, Oklahoma, and what the future holds for that team and more. That's coming up when we return on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You know, as we continue to work on this dumb little career that we are lucky to get to make a career out of, every now and then you stumble across somebody that you go, that guy's a genuine bona fide certified superstar. And you just want to have him on the show. And that man, in this instance, ladies and gentlemen, is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. He is also a host on 106.7 The Fan up in the D.C., Baltimore, Maryland area. That man is on top of all of that. One handsome devil. Denton Day joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate, as he has been so gracious to do on Wednesdays through the college football season. What's up, fella?
Fellas, how we doing? You guys had a great weekend. A good weekend for South Carolina and the Gamecocks against Oklahoma. Hot damn.
Yeah. You know what? I was gonna ask you about that a little bit later in the segment, but of course you, a man of great intelligence, knew exactly what the hell we need to bat lead off with. Denton Day, I will ask you the question that we had a discussion about on Monday.
I got to interrupt for a second. Why are you, you're buttering him up so much. Yes. I'm sure
he's... Because we look the same. That's why he always calls me handsome. It's because we have a passable a similarity in the face.
Watch when I turn the cap around. I mean, we could be brothers.
We're like long lost twins.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Saying, wow. It's early enough in this scheduled arrangement here that Denton could just text me like, bleep you, dude. I'm not doing this
all
anymore.
All right. I'll take my jealousy and turn my mic off.
It's fair. You're a handsome devil too, Lonzo. Somebody text the show and tell Lonzo he's pretty. All right. That's what we need to happen right now. Talk to me about that game, Denton Day. We had this conversation on Monday. There's a slider in front of you. And over here, it says, hey, South Carolina's pretty good. And over here, it says, oh, Oklahoma actually really stinks and they got too many SEC brownie points. Where on that scale are you putting the slider at?
I think it's not like right in the middle. It's just like a hair over to Oklahoma stinking because they don't have a quarterback. And South Carolina they accomplished an impressive feat, which is they totally screwed up the long-term plan of Oklahoma when they put Jackson Darnold in the game and ruined any ability he had to redshirt and sit for the rest of the year. I think that the win is great, but getting able to screw the plan of somebody in the SEC is also great. But for the Gamecocks, you had to have this one because you guys know as much as I do, The next couple of games on their schedule is not easy by any stretch. I mean, they are in the gauntlet of gauntlets for the final, you know, four of the five games, like with respect to Wofford. They don't count as a gauntlet game. But the other opponents on the schedule are a gauntlet game. So if you want to get into a bowl game, you had to beat Oklahoma, and then you're going to have to steal one of the games from that gauntlet that you have on the rest of your schedule. So this was a gotta-have-it game for Shane Beamer and the squad. And they absolutely had it. I thought they looked really, really good, really, really strong. It was an impressive showing from South Carolina.
The conversation about that team around here, Denton Day, at least from my perspective, has been the one thing that I feel like Shane Beamer has been missing during his tenure as the head coach of the Gamecocks is consistency. Because they'll have those games. They'll go to Clemson and they'll get a win. And then they'll have a fight against LSU in a game that, honestly, I think they probably got jobbed out of a win. But then they turn around and they blow it to Ole Miss. Then they go to Alabama the week after Alabama loses to Vanderbilt. And I'm like, oh, they're going to get beast slapped by 40 by a ticked off Tide team. And they probably could have, should have won that game as well. I'm very happy about this, because after the Ole Miss loss, yeah, you lost to Bama, but you did it in Tuscaloosa on the road the week after they lost to Vandy. Then you turn around and you go get the win on the road. Don't just win on the road, but you dominate Oklahoma. This is, as far as I'm concerned, the best three-game stretch Shane Beamer has had during his time at South Carolina. Do you, as somebody on the outside looking at this team on the inside, do you see an upward trajectory for South Carolina here, or are we just kind of putting the silver lining on a team that's been really up and down for 3 years?
Ask me that again next week, because if they go and play Texas A&M, who's a team that I think defensively is one of the stronger teams that you're going to find, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country, if they play another strong game against Texas A&M, then the answer to that question is yes. But if that roller coaster continues, as you mentioned, where you put together like three games that are really good and then you go and are on the receiving end of a good whooping, then you look at it completely different. But I think this upcoming game is going to be a real test, because if they, not that they have to win, obviously you would like to win, but not that they have to win, but if they have a similar kind of performance to what they did against Alabama, against Texas A&M, I think you can look at that four-game stretch and say, all right, they're doing something right. They just happen to play in the hardest conference in college football.
I think that's fair. Let's flip it around, Denton Day. We'll talk about some of the other games coming up in a minute, but obviously the other team we cover here in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina, the Clemson Tigers. This team's real fun, because coming into the year, it was like, oh, this might be a hot seat year for Dabo Swinney. All of a sudden, Cade Klubnik looks like a damn Heisman contender. All of a sudden, they're dropping 40s, 50s, and 60s on folks. And yes, their schedule is nowhere near as difficult as South Carolina's is, but you can only play who's in front of you. You can only beat who's in front of you. And that's everybody but Georgia right now, Denton Day. If I asked you where on the totem pole the Clemson Tigers sits, where is it? Is it ACC champs at a first-round bye? Is it playoff team, but they're going to have to play the first round because Miami exists? Where do you rank them?
So that's a really interesting question, right? I was watching this like college football playoff preview ranking show that ESPN was running last night, and they had both Clemson and Miami in the college football playoff. I don't believe that both teams are getting in, but I do believe that they're on a collision course to square off in the ACC championship. So whoever wins that game is likely going to get a bye. But because, as you mentioned, the schedule for Clemson has not been overly difficult outside of Georgia, and they happen to get shellacked by Georgia. And you can say the exact same thing for Miami. If you look at their schedule, there's really not a lot of tough opponents on there. I mean, Louisville's a good team, but how are they going to look in, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, right? Because they didn't beat them when they were ranked. They beat them when they were a 2-loss team, and now they're a 3-loss team. So those two teams are on a collision course. Right now, I think I lean in favor of Clemson because it's more about Dabo versus Mario Cristobal. Cam Ward, to me, is the best quarterback in college football right now. He's playing on fire. But when it comes to coaching, I trust Dabo more than I trust Mario Cristobal for a litany of different reasons. So on the totem pole now, I would say they are destined for an ACC championship and would get that bye, but I don't think they get into the playoff if they're a 2-loss team that loses the ACC championship to Miami.
I totally agree. So let's ask this one. I got a whole roll of tinfoil in the office that you can make a cap out of. Are you buying into the conspiracy theory that the ACC is bending over backwards to protect the Miami Hurricanes because it's not one, not two, but three games now where some interesting officiating decisions and replays have gone against Miami opponents? Are you in on the conspiracy theory that Miami is protected or what?
No, I think they're lucky. Now, I do think there is one team in college football that is protected. They also happen to wear orange, which I'm sure we will get to. But it is not the Miami, is not the Miami Hurricanes. I think they're lucky right now. You know, that Virginia Tech thing was just, that was, if anything, pie in the sky. You know, I can watch that from six different angles and come to a different result on six different times, right? But I don't think Miami's being protected. I do think it is just the ball falling the right way. Now, if it continues for another 2 or 3 weeks and then maybe you get that against Clemson, then we can have a different conversation. But for right now, I'm not buying into that conspiracy. I do love a good conspiracy theory, though.
That's exactly what they'd say, too, Denton Day. That's exactly. Denton Day is the host of College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. Joins us on Wednesdays here on the Rob Brown Show to talk a little college ball. All right, a couple of other games I'm interested in this weekend. Don't have to spend a ton of time on a Denton, but, like, I got a weird vibe about this Nebraska-Ohio State game. Nebraska got slapped in the mouth the other day by Indiana. Turns out Indiana's a pretty good game. Big fan of Kurt Cignetti. I win. Google me. Love this cat. But Matt Rhule, we know what he's done in college before. His time with the Panthers went really poorly. He's kind of dialed in on bringing Nebraska back, going back to that black shirt era. And, yes, so is every other Nebraska coach that's been there since Tom Osborne left. But I just got this weird vibe, especially with Ohio State having Penn State on the road the very next weekend. Penn State is a 25.5-point favorite in this one. Am I nuts for thinking the Nebraska cover is in play?
No, not at all. My general rule of thumb is if it's more than three scores, I stay away from the favorite. Because if you're Ryan Day and you win by 18, that's a good win against a Big Ten opponent when you got Penn State coming on the next week. So that cover is absolutely in play. As far as the upset goes, maybe not as much, just because, look, man, like the shoe is a different kind of beast, you know? And Raiola, I think, has shown some ups. He's shown certainly some downs. I mean, this past weekend against Indiana was not a great performance by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a different beast when you're playing at Ohio State. So I'm hoping that Nebraska keeps it close. It'd be great if they do. I think that cover is in play, but I don't see much of a chance of them beating Ohio State. I think now that the Buckeyes have that first loss of the season, I think they're going to be playing with a little bit of an anger that Nebraska is not up to par with yet.
All right, I know how arrogant this sounds, but Rob, Denton, when's the last time Ohio State lost two games in a row?
I don't know. 1962.
I'm just saying.
It might have been before I was born.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I get it. But also, college football ain't never been what college football is right now with the conference buildups and all that. I don't know. I got a vibe about that game. And I might be wrong, Denton Day. I also may be calling College Football Overtime on SiriusXM Saturday and being like, sup, dog? Sup? How you doing?
There's also the fact that I'm a big-time Ohio State fan from Ohio, and he's just messing with me.
No. I'm dead serious about this. I said it last night on BetMGM tonight.
Okay. All right. So you're saying you wouldn't troll me on a national show?
Correct.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, you would.
100%. Notre Dame at Navy. This one at MetLife out in East Rutherford. I got asked about this one by Brad Evans and Ryan Horvath last night on BetMGM tonight. And my thought was this. Notre Dame 12.5. I'm in love with the Navy cover, and I might even sprinkle money line upset. If Northern Illinois can get Notre Dame, Navy damn sure can. And with that weird triple option mesh flex, but oh yeah, we got a guy who can throw the damn football now playing for the midshipmen, I think they can keep Riley Leonard on the sideline enough to make this real interesting, Denton Day.
So I'll take everything you said about that just now, and I will apply it to Army and say that I would feel very comfortable with Army doing it to Notre Dame.
I like that, too.
Navy, I'm not quite there. You know, that line is really telling because Navy has played so well, so well, but they haven't played a team like Notre Dame. And, you know, if this was in September, I'd be all on it because we know Marcus Freeman has a weird tendency to lose games in September that he shouldn't. But because it is October and I feel like the motivation for Notre Dame is at an all-time high right now, I think Notre Dame, I think this could be a very a lousy way to go out for Navy in terms of that unbeaten streak. I think Notre Dame's going to mess with them very heavily. However, when Army comes up on that schedule, you know, Bryson Daly is – he's not in the Heisman conversation because we're not going to talk about like an Army quarterback in a Heisman conversation unless you're doing something absolutely insane. But he played really, really well this weekend. He can run. He can throw. Like, I really love Bryson Daly. So when Army comes to take on Notre Dame, there might be something there.
I like that. I like that. All right, a couple more before we get out of here. Denton Day from SiriusXM's College Football Overtime joining us here on the show. You can also check him on 106.7 The Fan. What's Alabama now? Why are the people slamming the panic? But I think the people slamming the panic button are premature. It takes a while to have a philosophy shift, and you can't have more of a philosophy shift than from Nick Saban to Kalen DeBoer. I think it takes time. People forget Nick Saban's first 2 years at Bama. Not great, Bob. Not great. Yeah. I think it takes a year or two, but I think people are prematurely panicking. I also think Mizzou is the most overrated team in the top 25 to start the year. I think Bama smokes Mizzou this weekend.
Yeah, Mizzou is I like Brady Cook. I don't love Brady Cook. I'm not slamming the panic button, although I do think the panic button is relative for certain teams. Like, there is different ways of panicking. I'm definitely looking at it, though. And it's not so much the Kalen DeBoer, it's the defense. Because we've been so accustomed to seeing Alabama defense being, you know, fundamentally sound, being really good in certain areas, and that's all the areas that they are not very good. This season, I have some questions about Jalen Milroe. I think we threw him into the Heisman conversation a little too early. I think we were kind of fishing for it. Like, we're always trying to find the next big star in college football. So I understand the line of thinking there, but he's not a Heisman quarterback. He's just not. So I think that's kind of where you're at right now. You're not slamming the panic button, but you're sitting at the table. Like, I'm sitting at a table right now, Rob, and like the panic button is just off camera. It's like I'm looking at it. I got all four of my eyes looking at it, but I'm not reaching my hand. My hands are firmly in my lap, so I'm not going to hit that panic button, but I know it's there.
Brad Evans asked me last night about his ILL Illinois Illini on the road at number one Oregon. Oregon minus 21.5 in this one for an Illinois team. And I think Brad got up in it a little bit because Illinois knocked off Michigan last week, and I'm like, Brad, you got to relax. Michigan stinks this year. Oh. It's sorry. I enjoy that trophy because it's going to be a hot minute before you get trying for another one. He asked me, can Illinois cover against the Ducks? And my answer was flat out no, not at Autzen Stadium. Am I overcooking this one?
Not happening. Not happening. They played so well last week against Michigan. Michigan doesn't have a quarterback. Oregon has a quarterback. And Oregon has literally everything else that you want on offense. And then literally everything that you want on defense. I mean, you want to talk about complete football teams. The two most complete football teams are Oregon and Ohio State. They squared off a couple weeks ago, and Oregon got the better of Ohio State. So, like, Oregon is as complete as of a team as you are going to get. I like Illinois. I love Brett Bielema. I think he does a great job. They're not winning. They're not covering. This is going to be a bloodbath. Oregon is going to have their way with the Illini.
When does James Franklin crap the bed?
Oh, probably 2 weeks. Yeah, probably, when Ohio State comes to town, it's likely going to be same old, same old. But I'll tell you what. I mean, if Drew Aller beats Ohio State, give James Franklin a contract extension immediately. Like, we know the tarmac talk with Lane Kiffin, and you got fired on the tarmac. Give the positive tarmac to James Franklin. Here's a check. Fill in the number that you want. If you beat Ohio State this year when they've already lost once and you know there's a little bit more motivation to make sure they run the table the rest of the way, if you beat Ohio State, here's the check. It's all yours. We're going to the playoff, baby.
All right. Hot take. LSU-Texas A&M is the game of the weekend.
100%. That's going to be madness. I mean, that's going to be – I don't know if it'll be like that 7 overtime classic that we got, what, like 8 years ago now at this point. But that's going to be a fun – Garrett Nussmeier is the best quarterback in the SEC. If you would have asked me this last week, I would have said Quinn Ewers, and then Quinn Ewers did not play well against Georgia. But Garrett Nussmeier, despite the fact that he is about immobile as a tree, he is the best quarterback in college football. This LSU offense, all you got to do is get two stops. if you get two stops on a pretty, you know, pretty average Texas A&M offense, you're going to win the football game, because that offense with Kyron Lacy, I mean, I know Texas A&M's defense is really, really strong, but it's a different beast when you're playing LSU.
The bad news for LSU is this game is at Kyle Field, and hotter take. No, it's not. It's a perfectly sane team. Texas A&M's a cult, Denton Day. It's a legitimate bona fide cult.
Very much. I don't understand why they love the color beige so much. It's like really weird. I get it for like the ROTC aspect, but why is everything else on that campus beige?
They're a bunch of World War II cosplaying dork ass nerds. They're the only college football fan base in America that I'm actively mean to.
I was that way once with Georgia, but then they won a championship, so I had to shut up. But I'm with you with Texas A&M. They are weird. I don't like them at all. I know people that went to Texas A&M, and I've told them this, and they get offended, and I do not care. They're weird, and I don't like them.
I was about 10 years ago in a wedding with a buddy of mine was getting married to an Aggie girl. Their entire wedding was about Texas A&M. It's the weirdest thing I've ever been around. Like the entire wedding, they all wore their Aggie stuff. They were chugging beers out of those weird stank ass boots they wear on campus all the time. Like the entire, I was like, dude, why are you even here? She's marrying Texas A&M. This is a cult.
It's so like, I am a proud graduate of Liberty University. My wedding in a couple months is not like, there's going to be nothing about where I went to college at the wedding. Like it's so weird that your college is your personality when you're past the age of 22 years old.
Respect. Denton Day hosts College Football Overtime on SiriusXM. You can check him out there. You can also hear him on 106.7 The Fan up in D.C. He is also one handsome son of a gun. Denton Day, you icon. Thank you, big dog.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it as always. I'll see you next week.
Yes, you will. Denton Day. You can follow him on X at the Denton Day. You can follow Lonzo at Lonzo on Word, or you can just follow along with this sports flash. By the way, Hurricane Jeff said you're very handsome.
I appreciate that. So did my granddaughter, by the way. The Boston Celtics began their title defense last night with a 132-109 win over the Knicks at home. Boston made 29 three-pointers, tying the record for most in a game by a team, but did miss their final 13 shots. Jason Tatum had 37 points, and Derrick Brown added 24. The Lakers knocked off the Timberwolves last night, 110-103. Anthony Davis shot 11 of 23 from the field and added 13 free throws in a 36-point effort. While LeBron James added 16, the Lakers created 15 turnovers off of Minnesota. The rest of the league begins tonight, including Charlotte at Houston at 8 o'clock. The Carolina Hurricanes picked up a win last night and an overtime win over Edmonton, 3-2. Sebastian Aho netted the game winner with 7 seconds left in OT. Tune in Friday at 7 as the Burns Rebels head to Spartanburg to take on the Vikings. Burns versus Spartanburg right here on The Fan.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.